نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And if I'm not mistaken, this is our sixth class concerning the book of Bulugh al-Maram, which we praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the Bulugh of al-Maram, and that Allah help us to achieve the maram, and the hope and the highest of all achievement is the paradise. So this is the sixth class concerning the explanation of Kitab Bulugh al-Maram, and today inshallah, which is Tuesday the 17th of March 1989 2000, this is the reason I'm looking for to see the day so I can say it right. And this is Tuesday, March 17 for the year 1998. Is this correct? Which is approximately equivalent to the 19th of Dhul-Qa'dah, which is the 11th month of the Islamic calendar, for the year 1418, from the migration of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we start in a new chapter, which I think we already spoke about one hadith. And this chapter, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, is supposed to be the chapter of al-wudu. This is what we're dealing with today, inshallah. And this is in English translation, Arabic and English, book Bulugh al-Maram. It says the book of purification under the book of purification. And this chapter 4, ablution, page number 22, concerning al-wudu. This what we about to talk today. First of all, small introduction about al-wudu. Wudu, which is the Arabic term, and al-wudu ma'khudh min al-wada'a, which means cleanliness and good, something wada, something bright, something clean, something shining. Okay, wada'ab. And according Islamic terminology, is purification using pure water for certain limbs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger prescribed to perform the ibadah. So linguistic speaking mean brightness, cleanliness, shining. And Islamic terminology, wudu, is washing certain limbs of your body using water for purpose of performing ibadah. And this wudu itself is a form of ibadah. And this wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory on us in His book, as well as in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us in Surah Al-Ma'idah by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha qumtum ila salah, فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. سورة المائدة verse number 6, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding the believers that when they get up about to make salah, that they wash their faces, their hands to the elbow, and to wipe their heads, and they wash their feet. And from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we found hadith Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, which is this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima, that Abu Huraira radiyallahu an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam السين لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. That Allah Almighty doesn't accept the prayer of one of you if he breaks his wudu until he perform a new ablution. Okay. The wudu, this term, if we use the fatha by saying wadu, that means we're talking about the water itself which you're using it for purification. And if you say wudu with the dhamma, that means the act itself of washing. And both of them are the same letters, waw and dad and waw and hamza. The only difference is what? Is that one with fatha and one with dhamma. Okay? So if you make it wadu, wadu will be the water that you're using to make the ablution. And if you say wudu with dhamma, will be the action itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the wudu for means of purification for our limbs as well as ourself, that mean spiritually as well physically. So when a person perform wudu, in actuality he's washing his limbs, removing all the dirt and the filth, the impurity, as well as he washing himself from the sins that been committed by this parts of his body. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informing us in al hadith which reported by امام مالك or the collection of امام مالك رحمة الله عليه and سنن امام احمد and النسائي that اذا توضأ العبد المؤمن فتمضمض خرجت الخطايا من فيه, that when the believer slave of Allah makes wudu, that the sin and he make wudu madmada, that mean he rinse his mouth, that all the sins will come out of his mouth. And if he washes his nose, the sins will be coming out of his nose. And when he wash his face, that the sins will be coming out of face, his face, until it comes under the hairs of his eyes. And when he washes his hands or his arms, that the sins will come out to such a degree, will come even from under his nails. When he wipe his head or over his head, the khataya, which is the plural of khati'a, the sins will come out of his ears. And when he washes his feet, that the sins will come out of his feet to such a degree that comes from what's beneath his toenails or the nails of his toes. And after this, his walking to the salah will be additional blessings for him. So that means by washing and doing these things, now you remove the sins from your hands, from your face, from your eyes, whatever you said, whatever you did wrong. So now you be after making wudu, you're completely clean. Now when you walk to the masjid, since your sins been washed, so this will be like a credit for you, because now it's no sins. We understand when a person walked to the masjid, every time he lift his feet up, it left him a degree, and every time he put his foot down, this will remove one of his sins. So now since he made wudu, and the sunnah and the proper action that a person make wudu in his house, okay, that you make the wudu in your house, so now when you washed, so now whatever walking that happening coming to the masjid will be a credit. It's not going to be like removing some of the sins, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his mercy had made this wudu that you just perform it to be a means of purification and cleanse for your sins. So now you don't have any sins, whatever been committed by the hand or by the eye, by the ear, ear dropping or saying something or hitting somebody or whatever, all these things, it cleans you. So this out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessings. And the hadith of Abu Huraira, which in the Muwatta of Imam Malik and the collection of Imam Muslim, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَا يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا وَيَرْفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ قَالُوا بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ وَكَثْرَةُ الْخُطَى إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فذلكم الرباط. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions in the hadith which reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu an, should I inform you about such thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the sin with it, and he elevates you in degrees? He said, please inform us, O Messenger of Allah. He said, performing a proper ablution, even if you dislike it, especially in time of winter and cold weather, and if you don't have warm water, it's not going to be easy for you to be washing. But regardless how you feel about it, you still try to make a proper wudu to cover all the limbs good. So this is called إسباغ الوضوء على المكاره, that you cover your limbs properly although you dislike it, okay, because the weather or whatever it is, okay. And the next thing is said, كثرة الخطى إلى المساجد, walking much, going a lot to the masjid, okay, not only in Sunday or on Friday. Say كثرة, الكثير, something كثير, a lot. كثرة الخطى, and this is one of the main characteristics of a Muslim, he's always frequent the masjid, always going to the masjid. This is bad habit of some Muslims, going to the masjid on Friday, almost like Christian going to the church on Sunday. And the strange thing that you found some Christian nowadays, they don't go only Sunday. They go for 3 and 4 times a week to their church, okay? Maybe in the old days they used to do this, but now they're getting more active now. Especially here, you can see it in Colombia, okay? In every block you find a church, and you can find meetings sometimes until 9 and 10 o'clock at night, okay? So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us that a Muslim, his habit, his way that he always going to the masjid, كثرة الخطى إلى المساجد وانتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة, okay, waiting for the prayer after the next prayer, okay. This is like a ribat, this like a person who guarding the frontage of the Muslim territory, okay. A person who stand in the front, watching the frontage, making sure the enemy doesn't attack the Muslim place. This is called murabit, okay? He's making ribat. And there is a great reward for the people who stand there, okay, watching, making sure that the enemy is not coming to attack the Muslim territory. So the person who wait for the prayer after prayer, he don't have anything else to do outside, so he say, okay, since I'm mid-Maghrib, let me sit down in the masjid, read some Quran until Isha comes. So this comment of staying in the masjid, waiting for the next prayer, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, is equal to the ribat. As if you are making jihad, standing there, watching, making sure the enemy doesn't come in. Okay? So this is basically something like a small introduction talking about this chapter of Al-Wudu. And before I go into the Bulugh Al-Maram, I want to mention something here concerning I don't know if this hadith we're going to find it or no, but this hadith, there is hadith here, من توضأ نحو وضوء هذا ثم صلى ركعتين لا يحدث or لا يحدث فيها نفسه غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the wudu, he showed to the Sahaba, and after this he said that whosoever make wudu like my wudu, similar to my wudu, and after this he performed 2 rak'at, not talking to himself, not whispering to himself, that means his mind doesn't go off different things, okay, busy talking, thinking about the kids and thinking about the wife and thinking about the car and thinking about, you understand, you know, when somebody his mind always daydreaming about this and that and going to do. So if a person performs a proper wudu like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after this he performed 2 rak'at, this is the second condition. Number one, to do what? A wudu like the Prophet. The second requirement, to do what? To pray 2 rak'at. The third requirement is what? That you did not, that your mind doesn't go off here and there, alright? That you be concentrating and busy about what you're doing. If you do this, غفر الله or غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, that all his past sin will be forgiven. Alright, there is a small comment here which is saying that this is a sin, the smallest sin, not a major sins, okay, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala able to forgive all the sins, and he can make this also as a means of forgiveness for your major sins. But major sins, the person have to make intention of tawbah. He have to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, okay, and he have to make a tawbah. A person go make wudu and make two rak'at and he concentrate about the prayer, but he's still in his mind that after he finish this two rak'at, he planning as soon he finish, he's going to stand by the corner store and buy something in a brown bag. It's not going to help. You see, you have to have a sincere intention to quitting such wrong things that you're doing. Okay? So this hadith referring, and Allah knows best, to the smallest sin. Like a person say something that he's not supposed to say it, okay? He touches something that he's not supposed to touch it. He eardrops, you understand, people talking and try to see what it is. He stick his nose in people's business. These small things that happening that we're making a lot during our day, and sometimes even though they didn't pay attention to it, okay? Because we're so busy running and doing, saying things, all these things, okay? And this also came from the understanding of hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ تَحْضُرْهُ صَلَاةٌ مَكْتُوبَةٌ فَيُحْسِنْ وُضُوءَهَا وَرُكُوعَهَا, that no Muslim, a prayer come to him, okay, obligatory prayer, and he performs the wudu properly, and he performs the obligatory prayer properly, he takes his time in the ruku, not jumping like up and down, he takes his time, okay, except this prayer will be forgiveness for all his sins, as long as he doesn't commit a major sin, okay, major sins. Alright, so the prayer and the wudu will be a means of forgiveness for your smallest sin. Major sins, it need what? A repentance. They need a person to make a sincere intention that he's not going back to it. Okay, hadith number 29, which already we spoke about it last week, and why did the author Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani rahimahullah, may Allah drop mercy on him, why he brought the hadith of miswak, talking about miswak, in the chapter talking about the wudu? Exactly, because the use of the miswak, one of the times that you use it before the wudu, or with the wudu when you rinse the mouth. So the relationship of the miswak, why he bringing it in the chapter of wudu? Because this one of the times that we use the miswak. When else do we supposed to use the miswak according to the sunnah? Brother Abdul Ahad Abdul Malik Yawmiddin, before he fast, can I swallow this? I repeat my question again. Alright, it's a new question now. How many cases we spoke about it last week, Ridwan, that you're supposed to use a miswak in it? Or what do you need a number? Let's look, go to, you see, so you better be, will be, start be prepared now, study, okay? The answer is a number. It's not a hadith, it's not anything. A number. Two. And Sister Zainab, thank you. You buy her a candy bar. Okay? And now we're going to try to solicit now one occasion from the six, which is just what we're talking about before wudu, before salah, sisters, before reading Quran. Okay, do you mind to close your notebook before you enter the house? Okay, I need one that most of us neglected these days. Huh? You getting close, brother? Sister Amina. Huh? Qiyamul Layl, getting up during the night to pray, okay? Qiyam, okay? So when you get up from your sleep, you use the miswak. So we say the six times the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam using the miswak when you enter your house, before you make the wudu, when you making the salah, when you start the salah, not during the salah, before it started the salah, okay? When you get up from your sleep, okay? When you need it, and recitation of the Quran. Can we use the miswak during fasting? Yes, okay? And we spoke about the argument between can we use it after asr or not after, all these things. So we don't have to go, so we can go with our subject for today, inshallah. So today, inshallah, we're supposed to be dealing with hadith number 30 in page number 23 from the book of purification al-wudu, and this an Humran Mawla Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an anna Uthman da'a biwudu'in فغسل كفيه ثلاث مرات ثم تمضمض واستنشق واستنثر ثم غسل وجهه ثلاث مرات ثم غسل يده اليمنى إلى المرفق ثلاث مرات ثم اليسرى مثل ذلك ثم مسح برأسه ثم غسل رجله اليمنى إلى الكعبين ثلاث مرات ثم اليسرى مثل ذلك ثم قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم توضأ نحو وضوئي هذا. حديث متفق عليه. This hadith which reported by Humran. And Humran, he is son of Aban, which he was the slave of Uthman ibn Affan, one of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, the third Khalifa, Uthman radiallahu an. So Humran, he was his slave. Khalid ibn al-Walid took him as a captive, okay, and he sent him to Uthman. Humran, he became a Muslim, and he was serving under the Khalifa Uthman radiallahu an, and he is the narrator of this hadith. And Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, the second person in the chain of the hadith, okay, he is one of the four Khalifa. He died in the day of Jum'ah. He been killed or murdered, okay, and he was 82 years. The hadith in English, what the meaning is, that Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, called for water to perform ablution. He washed palms of his hands three times, then rinsed his mouth and sniffed water in his nose and then blew it out. He then washed his face three times. Thereafter he washed his right hand up to his elbow three times. Then the left one likewise, then he passed with hands on his head. Then he washed his right foot up to the ankle. Three times, then he left, then the left one likewise. He then said, I saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing ablution like this ablution of mine. Agreed, that mean been in the collection of Al-Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. May Allah send his mercy upon them both. Sorry, I skipped the ears. Okay, please include the ears. Thank you. Alright. Wadu, as we said before, if you have the waw with fatha, wa, wadu means what? Thank you. MashaAllah, we still have some people awake. And wudu with dhamma will be what? The action, the performance of the wudu itself. Okay, tamadmada. Tamadmada mean from madmada, that to have water in your mouth and like you say rinse the mouth, moving the water from side to side. Okay, no gargling now. Okay, madmada doesn't mean gargling, like gargling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But in the water is like this. Okay, this is not part of the wudu, but he say tamad mada. And listen now, this Uthman radiallahu anhu, he's saying in the end of the hadith what? First he asked them, and this is the sahaba how they so concerned to teach the people the deen, not only in words, they even show it to them in action. He told them, bring water. Okay? Getting the people attention. Bring the water. And after this, and he's the Khalifa. You see? He's the Khalifa. And when somebody in authority and doing something, everybody want to watch and see what is going on. Okay? And he was so concerned for the people to learn, not only to learn it in words. So he did this in front of them, and he's the end of it. He said what? That رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made wudu like my wudu, exactly like this. Okay, so he took what? Make madmada, which he takes the water in the mouth and wash the mouth three times. The word istanshaqa. Istinshaq means to take water to the nose, okay, and you pull it in with your with the inner inhaling, okay. So you take the water and you pull it in, okay, to inside. Istanthara is to push this water that you grab it in out. Okay, with your exhale, okay, to take this water out after you took it in. Okay, al-mirfaq, now I'm giving you the breakdown of the words that he used here. Al-mirfaq, which is the elbow, and the elbow is the connection between the arm and the forearm. The forearm, where is the arm? This is the arm. This is the forearm? Okay, this is the upper arm, and this is the forearm. So the connection between the forearm and the upper arm, this what we call the elbow. So everybody know where is the elbow now, okay? When he say ila al-mirfaq, to the elbow, that mean with, okay? That mean he didn't go to the elbow and stop, but ila, okay, which you see it when it comes, وَزَادَكُمْ قُوَّ إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ, that Allah give you strength with whatever strength is that you got. So this means additional to this. So when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم here talk about the elbow, that means also to wash the elbow. Not to go say like I went to. I went from here to here. So stop there by the elbow. But this means with. That means include the elbow. To wipe the head. Say wiping. Okay. That means without pouring water. This is mean to wipe. Wipe is different from washing. Because washing, you take in water, actually water, and make it run on the limb. But wiping, passing the hand wet on the head. Okay. Al-Ka'b, okay, which you call the ankle, is the bones that's sticking out in your foot from both sides. Okay. And this also is included. Alright. In actuality, this hadith has a continuation in another version. Okay? And the continuation of the hadith or the completion of the hadith supposed to be like this. فَقَالَ أَيْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ, which you don't have it there in your book, من توضع نحو وضوئي هذا ثم صلى ركعتين لا يحدث فيهما نفسه غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That whosoever perform ablution like my ablution, the prophet here is talking, okay, and then make two rak'at. And this two rak'at also from the rak'at that has reason. You know that we've been forbidden to pray when sun after Fajr, and when sun after Asr, and where is sun in the middle of the sky. But if the salah has a reason like what? Here, like somebody made wudu. Now there is a reason to pray. That somebody come to the musalla, to the masjid. There is a reason to pray. Okay? So you can pray even in that time. But a person sitting in the masjid, pray asr and you're already sitting in the masjid. There is no reason for you to get up to make nafl prayer. Optional prayer. But if you're just coming from outside, there is a reason for you to pray. What is the reason here? The Prophet ﷺ said that when somebody enters the masjid, not to sit until he performs two rak'at. This is what we're talking about, the reason, okay? So, these two rak'at can be performed even if the time after Asr or after Fajr or whatever. So, Rasulullah ﷺ said, if you make wudu like my wudu, and after this you perform two rak'at without going off in your thoughts, in your wudu and in your salah, Allah will forgive you what? Your best sin. And we already explained this more in detail. Okay. And this narration, okay, does not have three times. But in the hadith of Ali radiallahu an, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this three times. And we're going to explain that they will find some narration of the hadith talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the wudu once. Some he found that he made it twice. That means he rinsed his mouth twice. One he found that he rinsed his mouth once. That he washed his face once. In another hadith he found that he did it two times. In another hadith he found that he did it three times. Okay? All this is correct. All is correct. And what we understand from this, washing limbs of your body for wudu once is obligatory. One time is must. This is the minimum and is a must. Okay? The second and the third is what? Is sunnah. And what I mean by sunnah, that means is optional. Okay? That means if you did it twice, you get more reward. It's better. If you make it three, is good and more reward. But if you did it one time, as long as you cover the limb properly, okay, is acceptable and be sufficient. As example, if somebody have a little water, this is one example. Can somebody give me another case that you're going to make the wudu once? Thank you. Now you buy him a candy bar, and now both of you can be even, or you can squash it down, don't bite each other. Okay? So now if the water is cold and you don't have this, all this modern stuff, or you camping out or whatever, and it's too cold, so you're going to wash one time only. You don't have to make it three times. But it is very important that when you make it once, make sure that the water had covered all the arm or all the face, whatever part that you're washing it, make sure the whole part is what? Is being covered. Okay. What do we understand from this hadith? This hadith we understand the following, that to wash the hands, okay, to wash the hands is part of the wudu. Also, we need to explain this about washing the hands. Washing the hands in the beginning of a wudu is sunnah, okay? But washing the hands after getting up from your sleep, special at night, is a must. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that when one wake up, okay, let him wash his hands before he dip it in the bucket. Alright? So now if you dip it in the bucket or where you taking it from the faucet, it is a must for you to wash your two hands before you make wudu. Alright? When you get up from your sleep, special the sleep at night. Alright. Also from this hadith, we understand the necessity of washing the face. Also we understand about the necessity of washing the mouth as well as the nose. We're going to go in details a little bit about this. Also we see the necessity of washing the hands with the elbow, and also the necessity of wiping over our head, and also that wiping, not washing, to the head. Also we understand the necessity of washing the feet with the elbow. With the ankle. Also we see the necessity of doing the wudu in order. You see? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in Quran in order, as well as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you shouldn't go and what? Wash your face, and after this wash your feet, and after this wipe your head. And okay, you have to make it in order. And we learn about this order, why a must. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you get up for prayer, wash your face, wash your hands, wipe your head, and wash your feet. If the order is not necessary, the Quran will put it what? Wash the face, wash the hands, the arms, wash the feet, and after this you will say what? Wipe the head. But to bring the wiping in the middle of things that need to be washed, that means you have to follow the order. Did anybody understand this point? You see it? Because the Quran is very high, organized, but high tech. I could not remember the word now, but the word how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fasaha, okay, there's something very eloquent, okay. So you don't put a wash, okay, and you break the order, and you bring something about wiping, and after this go again to washing. You bring everything together for washing, and after this get the wiping. But to bring the wiping, the part that need to be wiped, in the middle of things to be washed, because what? because it have to be order. Exactly, okay? So, what also we understand from this hadith, that the sunnah or recommendation of praying two rak'at after wudu, any time you make wudu, okay? Number 7 or number 8, that you be mindful in your prayer, because this was the condition. Said you make a wudu and you make two rak'at and you don't go off with your thoughts, that will be a cause of forgiveness. So now this is teaching us that when we are in prayer, that we're supposed to be mindful, thinking, busy with the prayer. Not thinking about the job and thinking about the kids and thinking about, you understand, what kind of cake, you understand, my wife made for me tonight, or if you're going to buy from food line, because it depends if she's happy with you or mad at you, okay? Sometimes you have to buy it from food line, and sometimes, you understand, there's no even cake. It happens, so it depends, okay, what kind of mood it is. We have a small problem here that we're going through about different understanding among the scholars. The madmadah and the istinshaq. What is the madmadah? Okay, and in a short term to say what? Washing your mouth. And al-istinshaq. Some scholars understood that this is optional, while